after years and years in ministry, I've realized if you wait till the end of a family service to do a grown-up talk, the kids have had enough, haven't they? So the grown-up talk happens now. I mean, the kids, you can tune in. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be 10 minutes long. Come on, it's a miracle morning. Come on. Do you not believe in miracles, church? Come on. He is risen. It's April Fool's Day. I've been April Fooled already this morning. I came in this morning, Finley Bell came in, and he said, Nick, you've got a chicken on your head. And I didn't. Anybody else been April Fooled this morning? I'm not saying it's in the genes, but apparently Grace has been April Fooled in a few people as well. So, you know, I'd like to tell you I love an April Fool. I don't. I'm not very good with consequences. You know those people at camp who throw water over you? Alan Neil. I don't do that. I'm always worried. If I throw water over you, what will happen? Will you melt? You know, will you disappear? I don't know. But I love those classic April Fools. Some of you might be old enough to remember 1957. Panorama did a serious episode about the Swiss spaghetti harvest and how the spaghetti weevil had almost been wiped out, and so it was a bumper crop for Swiss spaghetti. Serious thing. The director of the BBC actually said, I went to my Encyclopedia Britannica and looked up Swiss spaghetti plants. Later on they said, it's not true. It's flour and water spaghetti. It's out of a packet, I know for most of us, but it's, you know, it's pretty simple. The other one there is The Guardian. The Guardian in 1977 ran a 6-page pullout on these group of islands in the Indian Ocean. They were called uppercase and lowercase. And those of you who love a bit of English, you know, everything about these islands used printing and grammatical terms for them. 6 pages of economy and, you know, kind of wildlife and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely mental. They're just great, aren't they? The serious people, the BBC and The Guardian, not bothered about the consequences. But you know, there's always consequences with an April Fool joke. There's always consequences. You might laugh, you might be deeply offended. You might never buy The Guardian again, or ever buy it in the first place, I don't know, whatever. Let's finish our reading. Siobhan read from Luke 24, and we're going to read a bit more. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which he was going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. It's a classic, isn't it? The man who opens the eyes of the blind makes the seeing people blind. Isn't that good? Hey? I mean, has Jesus made you blind? Sometimes we're walking with him and perhaps we can't see what's going on. Whose fool are you when your head is down? Whose fool are you when life is difficult? See, we can't always see Jesus with us on the journey. And sometimes we're in this difficult place, aren't we? Aren't we? You know, this morning you might be full of it because he has risen. You might be full of the joys of spring. But you might also be pretty miserable because life is difficult, because things are hard, because you're facing all sorts of problems that nobody else knows about. Whose fool are you when your head is down? See, Jesus can be trusted. If he is alive, and he is, Jesus can be trusted. He can be trusted with our very lives. And you need to know that if you've asked him into your life, he's in your life. And therefore, he's on the journey. You might not always see him. You might be struggling this morning. But let me tell you, he has not abandoned you. He will not let you go. He is with you. Whose fool are you when your head is down? Whose fool are you with your mind engaged? You might think this is all nonsense, the resurrection of Jesus. Most people who think the resurrection of Jesus is nonsense is because are those who haven't engaged their minds. We just started the Alpha course this week. Not too late to join in, by the way. Week on Wednesday, next one. And on that, they interviewed Francis Collins, head of the Human Genome Project, who was a follower of Jesus. He said, I discounted the existence of God, not because I've looked into it, but because I hadn't. The resurrection of Jesus is incredible. We have these amazing little bits of information. I can't tell you all of them this morning. I haven't got time. But two of the ones that are brilliant are the fact that it's women that find the grave empty. If you were making up this story in the first century, I'm sorry, but half of you in this room would be discarded because you're unreliable, aren't you? You meant to say, no, we're not. But in the first century, that's how you were seen. If you want somebody to find an empty tomb, you find somebody reliable. You don't use women. You don't use Geordie fishermen. You use the high priest or somebody like that, somebody sensible, somebody trustworthy. One of the reasons we're sure the resurrection is real is because the witnesses are unreliable. Do you understand that? Do you get that? If you were making up the story, you would not make those people up, would you? And the other one, I don't think, read Chuck Colson. Brilliant. 12 men. He's got his numbers wrong. There's 11 of them because Judas is already dead. 11 of them who were tortured and beaten for saying Jesus was alive. John died of old age, and the other 10 were sawn in half, beheaded, crucified upside down, fed to the lions, etc., etc. Who fancies that for a lie? Let's tell a lie this week, shall we? Nick's looking thinner. He's lost a lot of weight. Right? Tell that lie, and then if we torture you, see how long that quickly you hold on to that. Who are you when your mind is engaged? Whose fool are you with your mind engaged? Have a look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you will find that he is alive. Whose fool are you with your heart burning? Can you imagine those people, if you were at the sunrise service this morning, and most of you weren't, but if you were, I'm not judging you, I'm just observing. If you were, we spoke about this morning, and these guys were walking with Jesus. One of them is called Cleopas. The other person, we don't know the other person's name, but we think the other person's name is Mary. One in four women in the time of Jesus were called Mary. Handy that, isn't it? In Israel, that is. We think her name is Mary. We think it's Cleopas's wife. She was at the crucifixion. And as they're walking along and Jesus is unpacking all of the Old Testament to them, their hearts start to burn. When God is speaking to you, your heart starts to burn. Have you ever been in a sermon? Have you ever been in church where God is saying something to you and you think you're the only person in the room? I wish there was more of you. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas, they turn around immediately. Their hearts are burning. They see Jesus and they turn around immediately, straight back. Let's get back there. Let's get back to the disciples. Let's get back to the guys. Look, we've seen Jesus. Absolutely amazing. Whose fool are you with your eyes open? It's really interesting reading Luke's story of the resurrection. Because the first time Jesus speaks in Luke is to these two. The first time Jesus speaks is to these two. And they hear him, but they don't see him. And that's incredible. They hear his voice, but they don't see him. And it's not until they've journeyed with him that they see him. Whose fool are you with your eyes open? Are you feeling a bit battered this morning? Has life battered you down? Are you just feeling a little bit jaded with church, with friendships, with home life, with work? All those things that just kind of, whoa. That's why Easter Sunday is so important. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. He's risen indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to see you this morning. Lord, if our eyes are being closed, help us to open them. Lord, for those of us who are seriously doubting this religious stuff, Lord, I pray that you would give us minds to think, to get hold of the resurrection and to see the truth of it and to see the implication of that, Lord, that you, as you break that bread, that we would see you, that we would make you our Lord and Savior. And Lord, when we're in that place of challenge where our heads are down, Lord, I pray that you would have a word for us, that you'd speak a word of life and of hope. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.